everybody. This is Lauren Baker from Search Engine Journal. Welcome to today's SEJ show. Oh my gosh. Today's SEJ show. With me today, I have Charles Farina from AdSwerve. Hey, Charles, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure to have you. And I'm pretty excited today because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Google Analytics 4. Some of the feedback, at least in the communities that I'm part of, has been very negative. And then some of the feedback's been very positive. It's been like, hey, you know, take your time, figure it out, you know, this and that. So you are the Google Analytics, one of the Google Analytics go-to people in terms of not just traditional universal analytics, but also GA4. I want to remind everyone that's currently watching live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. If you have any specific questions for Charles about GA or GA4 and its implementation, feel free to go ahead and ask them. We'll address them during the show. We can see most of what you ask. So please go ahead. And also, just to test the comment section, say hi. Let us know where you are. Hi, I'm Lauren Baker. I'm from Santa Clarita, or Charles from Seattle. So just go ahead and fill in your name, where you're from, everything else. That way we know that we can see you. And Charles, before we get started with talking about everything around Google Analytics 4, how about if you just introduce yourself, your background, and you know why you love analytics so much?
Oh, yeah. So really excited to be here. So I've been working in analytics for over 10 years. I started in college trying to figure out what degree I wanted and eventually got a marketing degree, but didn't really figure out what I wanted to do for a living until I got my internships. And as part of my internships, I got to try out all the different disciplines, some paid, some email, some analytics. And I fell in love with analytics. And my career really started because I was in charge of doing the analytics for all of the University of Wyoming, all the departments, all the individuals. And I considered myself an expert, as any college age individual would. And I went to a conference in California and realized within 10 minutes that I knew nothing. And in fact, I had broken my entire implementation, done everything wrong, put UTMs all over my site. But I fell in love with it. And that's where I started my career. And along the way, I've been fortunate to work with very large companies. So I specialize in kind of the enterprise Google Analytics 360 world. But both versions use the same platform. So this is what I've been doing for the last 10 years. And for the last 2 or 3 years, to your comment, I've pretty much exclusively focused on GA4 and have been helping try and transfer all of my customers over to this new version and everything along the way that comes with it.
Sounds awesome. Sounds awesome. So first of all, it's cool that you've been in the GA4 before this deadline. Which one is it again? It's like July 23rd or something like that?
So there's two key deadlines. For most of you, it's going to be July 1st, which is when the free version of Universal, the processing, deprecates. So you can still access your data, but you can't send new data to it. And then for 360 or the paid customers, it's going to be, I believe, October 1st of next year, which is when that version deprecates.
Gotcha. So just to let you know, like when I asked everyone to like say where they're from, this is how international this show is today. So we have a number of people from Paris and from France, which is super cool. We have someone from Johannesburg, South Africa, from Brazil. Hey, Raphael, where in Brazil? Let us know. Prague, Raleigh, North Carolina, London. And then also Stanley from Trinidad and Tobago. Stanley, I'm a huge Trini hot sauce fan. So if you have any recommendations on the Trini hot sauce, let me know. And Pakistan and all over the world. So like everyone right now is really, really interested. Ecuador, surprise, Arizona. So we have a lot of people all over the world interested in making this transition. So you said from July 1st is the free Universal Analytics over to GA4 transition, and then later in October, the 360 paid transition. Now, why is that transition important? Is there going to be any loss of data if it's not made by that time?
Yeah, it's a really important date. And also, it's a really important time that we're having this conversation now because, to your question, GA4 uses an entirely new data model and it requires a new implementation in order to get data into that product. So, in short, it doesn't carry forward any of the data that you've collected in the past on the old version. So, what the best practice has been until now is that you should try and run both versions side by side so that you can have 13 months of data in the new platform and eventually make it very easy to switch over. Now, that 13 months is why this is such an interesting time because if you rewind July till today, we're right at that window. So, if you're not using GA4 currently, it's going to be a big potentially challenge for you in the future because that means when you do switch over, you won't be able to do year-over-year analysis in it if you wait much longer. So there you go.
Before we get too far into our interview, we want to just thank you for listening to the Search Engine Journal show. We're going to take a quick break and bring you a little word from our sponsor. Do you need to improve your website's performance? Then get the speed you deserve with InMotion Hosting. InMotion Hosting provides fast and reliable website hosting for businesses of any size, all backed by 24/7 customer support and the industry's best money-back guarantee. Trust your website to the web hosting experts at InMotionHosting.com. Again, that's InMotionHosting.com. Now back to our show. Really interesting. So it's incredibly important. We have 3 days, 3 days to get something running. And one question I have is, if I get GA4 set up right now on the site, and maybe I don't have enough time to customize that data accordingly within this 3-day window, am I going to lose the data I want to track, or is everything pretty much tracked and then customizable once I take the time to put together my custom reports and everything else?
Yeah, so there's always going to be a way in GA4 where you can try and do some magic to make things work, but it's likely going to require you use their BigQuery integration and you have SQL skills, and it's going to be very advanced or complicated. So my recommendation would be set up GA4, just get the base page you tag. You can do it in probably 15 minutes if you're already using Google Tag Manager. It's super simple. And then just focus on getting your conversions tracked. So your forms, your signups, whatever your key conversions are, just set those up and do that at a minimum, because that's what GA4 is all built around, is basically your page views, your basic content, and then your conversions and the attribution data associated with it. So hopefully, if you have a good Google Tag Manager set up, you can do like 80% of it, maybe in an hour or so, if you don't have a very complicated setup, like as a normal kind of small or medium-ish business would have.
So I was talking with Kaylee Larkin, who is on the SCJ team. She's also really in the GA4. I don't know if you've read much of her stuff or not on Search Engine.
Oh yeah, it's great.
But one tip that she had was just like taking an hour a day to learn Google Analytics 4, right? Just like taking an hour a day every day, or whatever it may be, taking a little bit of time out of your day just to learn a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. So it sounds like once we have that basic set up, right, then we can learn a little bit more on how to utilize it, how to utilize reporting and everything else. So when Google came out with this, you know, when Google came out with this announcement, it kind of caught people a little bit off guard. It's nice that they gave us a deadline. We're also, as SEOs, we're used to Google giving us a deadline recently and then extending it all the time.
Oh yeah.
So, but I think it's just really important to get this underway. We do have a couple questions that come out, and honestly, like we've been using, I don't really think Google Analytics, besides taking away keyword data, has, I mean, there's been changes, but it's kind of been like the same thing since the Urchin days, and it kind of was first started. So people are pretty set in their ways. One question that Eduardo Martin Lopez asks is, do you know if there's going to be a tweak or an easy way to migrate the GA Universal Analytics data over to GA4?
Yeah, great question. So first, I wanted to make a comment about your delay. And Google's notorious, I think, for delaying things. This feels like maybe the first time I can think about where it's not going to be delayed. So if you're out there, I would take that date very seriously. And it feels very unlikely like it's going to get pushed back. And that's really been the story of GA4. From my experience as a partner of Google's on GA4, Google's hit almost every major milestone that they've shared along the way with when they're releasing kind of key features for it. So I would not expect that timeline to shift. And for your question around transferring the data from Universal to GA4, I wouldn't expect there to be any kind of major updates on that. I think there's a chance Google might release like a plugin for Google Sheets, or someone in the community might do it to just get some basic tables or reports so you can have those left behind. But honestly, my recommendation for most of you out there would probably be not to worry about it. And it's probably not going to end up mattering that much if you don't do any of that, because for most businesses, the data that really matters is the data you're collecting now, and then comparing that obviously to largely what you did last year. That's what most businesses do, your year over year reporting. So a lot of that data that's really old that you have in GA, what I found is even some of my large enterprise clients, you never use that data. It's just there. It's kind of like a safety net to have it. So yeah. I'm kind of focused on maybe it's really not that important. So kind of a contradictory view that maybe a lot of us have in this industry where we're obsessed with collecting and keeping all data forever.
Eduardo adds that she also manages 100 clients. So do you have any recommendations to doing this en masse?
So if you're doing 100 clients, if you do want to keep some of your data out of the free version of Universal Analytics, I think the best opportunity right now is going to be with the Google Sheets connectors, because you can do some automation with it by doing like VLOOKUPs and changing account IDs and then scheduling that into tables. That's probably going to be the best. I would think that in the coming months, as we get closer, there will be some community options where some people are going to like dump some GitHub libraries or make their own Google Sheets connectors to do it. I do know there's other vendors like Supermetrics and some of like the Excel or Google Sheets plugins, where if you're willing to pay, they'll have some options for you. But those would be my best recommendations right now.
So you're looking at the same dashboard at the end of the day, but powered by separate analytics data, right?
With some you're not really looking at anything the same. You're just looking at a table of data in Google Sheets. Like that's the thing. You can't bring that data into GA4. So you're just left with a simple export. And that's the thing. Like one of the big differences in Universal was that product didn't allow you to get all of your data out unless you paid that upgrade fee to get to GA360. Now, one of the biggest changes with GA4 is that almost all of the features that used to be in GA360, so funnels, Google's advanced media integrations for Campaign Manager and Search Ads 360, and that BigQuery integration to get the raw data, all those features are in GA4 and they're in the free version. You don't have to pay for them anymore. So while it's frustrating not to be able to get your data out of the current version, what's at least a little bit nice is that in that GA4, this should never be a problem in the future, because all of you can actually set up the raw data exports in this new platform. So if Google ever decides to make GA5 and do this again, you will have all of your data already out in its rawest, kind of most granular form.
Yes, I have a feeling if they roll it out again, it's going to be called like GAX or something like that, like Apple did. So we have just a lot of opinions in the comments about how everyone loves Universal Analytics so much. But too bad. You know what? Many commenters have said, Google is the boss and you got to listen to what they say and what they're going to do. What are some of the pros and cons to GA4 as compared to Universal Analytics?
Yeah. So
already?
Yeah, the pros, I would kind of tie this to your earlier comment around Universal hasn't received updates in quite some time. And even backing up farther, a lot of people don't realize that Google Analytics has been around for 15 years, which is when Google bought Urchin and made it free and released it to us. And you can still use the original tracking code, the urchin.js JavaScript version, and it still works today. I can't think of any other tools in my marketing stack where I can use V1 from 15 years ago and it still works. And that's amazing. And it's also kept the longevity of GA. But at the same time, certain things about Google Analytics don't make sense anymore. So if you think about goals or conversion tracking, goals in Universal are session scoped. You can only count it once per session. You only have 20. So if you started with 20 10 years ago, you still have the same 20 today because you can't really reuse them. So we can't do things like campaign type goals, seasonal goals. We can't do true counts. We can't even do user scoped goals. So with GA4, the promise and the benefits is that a lot of these things that never made sense, like goals or not being able to use a page and a session metric. So I can't tell you how many sessions I had per page because the dimensions don't go together. Those don't exist in GA4. We can do those sorts of things for the first time because we have this new modernized data model. And in addition, everything's more efficient and thinking forward thinking. So the pros is that for a lot of marketers, GA never allowed you to really become an intermediate or advanced user without upgrading to GA 360, where you could get access to the data warehouse and all of these predictions and your own Tableau on top of it. All these advanced use cases were kind of gated only in the enterprise version. And in GA4, everyone has access to this kind of intermediate and advanced curve of sophistication because all those features are in the core version and it solves a lot of the pain points many of us have had in Universal. So there's your pros. For the cons, I would say the biggest challenge right now is for users that want to heavily use the user interface or the UI of GA4. In Universal, I can do everything that I really want for analysis by going into the standard reports, using segments, adding dimensions, looking at the graph. And my experience so far in GA4 is that is the most challenging part of the product, is the basic reporting, the ad hoc analysis. And the challenge has been, I think, Google has largely been focused on releasing new features. So different things like releasing the funnels and the pathing tools and consent mode and behavioral modeling. But what they haven't yet started to do is update a lot of the existing features. So my hope is that as Google kind of works through and we get closer to that July date, Google will start focusing on making the UI better, making it easier to use, giving us better reporting, and I think solving what I think is the biggest pain point right now, which is just basic dashboards, basic reports, and basic analysis. And for me right now, that's the biggest con. And it feels like, again, it's just really early in kind of its maturity as a product. So hopefully it starts to improve a lot right now.
Got you. Very cool. Very cool. So just to let everybody know as well, like Google Analytics is not, even though it's the most widely used analytics tool out there, it's not the only one. And just for a little bit of history, Charles touched upon this. Google acquired a company called Urchin about 15 years ago? And then they just rebranded it as Google Analytics and made it free. So like even like UTM, your UTM parameter, UTM stands for Urchin Tracking Module. Like they haven't updated any of that, like within the code or anything. So a lot of this is like just like really old stuff and things. And then we had some questions about bounce rate, right? So Pierre Dubois asks, like, is bounce rate going to be eliminated? Pierre's heard different stories. My understanding is there's not going to be any more bounce rate in GA4.
Well, prepare to be shocked. Bounce rate is back. It's back. Is it? So bounce rate's already in the API for GA4. There's a few key metrics like landing page and bounce rate, which were missing at the core release. but Google's slowly been adding them back into the product. So landing page, as an example, was missing a few months ago. Now it's accessible everywhere as a dimension. Ooh. And bounce rate is another one where if you go to the API for GA4, you can actually see it. It's the inverse of engagement rate. So it's a different, it's going to be a different definition of what you're used to in Universal, but it's there. And since it's in the API, that is a really good signal that it's going to be in the UI, because that's how Google's done everything with GA4 so far. A lot of it shows up in BigQuery or the API and then gets added into the standard UI a few months later. So it's back and it's coming.
And just as a reminder about bounce rate, and please forgive me if I'm wrong, because sometimes I'm a master of all trade, jack of all trades, master of none. But bounce rate is completely dependent upon the elements and goals that you set up on your own site itself, right? So if you're setting up multiple different signals, elements, goals on your site, your bounce rate's going to change accordingly. It's not like 100% end all be all. So I've seen this where people have changed over from running normal tags, put everything in the UTM, taking things out of UTM, putting more different JavaScript codes on the site, putting more elements throughout the site for tracking, and bounce rate changes accordingly because it's a front end measurement protocol.
Yeah. Bounce rate in Universal, it was a single page visit. And you had to get more technical. It was a visit that had no interactive events. So if you did event tracking in Google Analytics, if you added the events to track clicks, videos, buttons, whatever, and you marked that event as interactive, then it would tell Google Analytics to not treat that session as a bounce. So it was a single page visit or a single page visit with no interactive events. And in GA4, it kind of carries that same flavor. But it changes some things. So by default in GA4, there's something called engagement, which it does automatically. And engagement is going to be defined as a session with 10 seconds of interactivity. So if the user is interacting with your site for 10 seconds, then it won't be a bounce. Or if they trigger a conversion. So let's say you had an event and it was less than 10 seconds, but they signed up for your email really fast and you marked that as a conversion, it wouldn't be a bounce. Or it was obviously two or more page views. So that's going to be your definition of bounce rate in GA4. And to your question, it entirely depends on how useful that metric is for how reliable your implementation of GA4 is in the first place, and if you started to track the interactions that matter for your business correctly.
So I've also had a lot of questions come up recently about differences in Google search on the SEO side, especially Google SEO side, differences in Google Search Console clicks versus differences in sessions or even new sessions and users in analytics. A couple of projects I've worked on personally that have been JavaScript front end have, I've seen where there's a huge difference to the point where maybe the tracking code is not being served 100% to the user. And a Gatsby Gatsby headless JavaScript front end, or maybe even a BigCommerce JavaScript template. So one question I have is, are you familiar with differences between what's seen in Google Search Console and what's seen in Google Analytics, and any reasons why there would be differences between the two?
Yes. And we can take a huge step back and we could broaden this and say, what about comparing GA4 to Google Ads? What about comparing it to Search Console? What about comparing transactions in your data versus transactions in Shopify? This same question applies to comparing GA4 really to any other data source for me. And I think we've crossed a path where things are just fundamentally changed and different. And what I mean by that is 5 years ago, I think all of us as marketers were kind of chasing down or obsessed about building this 360-degree view of the customer, where our data would tie together with every source at an actual connected layer. So you could do ad impression to click to visit to they're in your CRM, and you can tie all that together. Well, in today's world, because of privacy, legal changes, browser technology changes, there's now things that are going to be irrevocably broken. So as an example, having a display impression tied to a visit because consent might not actually be provided for someone seeing an ad and saying that you can actually connect it to their visit. Some of these lines are blurred now because of both the browser or technology side and the privacy side. So where I'm getting at with this is your data is never going to match between these sources. You should also start getting used to that things are going to get worse from a comparison standpoint, because once consent and some of these European privacy type things happen in the US, becomes more complicated. And the most important part is just to follow best practices and try and ensure you have directionality between the data. And if it's not directional, then we have a problem. So your suggestions are spot on. The first thing you want to do is you want to follow all the best practices. You want to get GA4 to fire first. You want to make sure it's not loading later on the page. You do all that sort of stuff. And then what you really want to do is when you compare Search Console versus Google Analytics, you should see when things go up in one place, they also go up in another. And if you're not seeing that trend, then there's a bigger problem, because then you can't trust one source over another. And then we have a problem. But what I'm seeing for a lot of my clients right now is that you might have a 15 to 20% difference or so, maybe less, maybe a little bit more. But most of them are still seeing that the data is directional. So even though there's a massive change in what we were measuring, we still have that directionality, which means the data is still actionable when you're trying to use it.
So speaking of data changes, another thing that comes up quite a bit is, and you had said directional multiple times, which reminds me of direct, right? So in Universal Analytics, now we have direct. And years ago, everyone would say, oh, that's just people typing in your URL, or that's just people that have bookmarked you. Well, I mean, personally on my side, once Safari, right, the leader in the mobile browser market in the US by far over Chrome, I think Safari is at 60%, Chrome's at 30%, give or take a few, stopped tracking cookies and also implemented Siri Suggest into the Safari browser. So if I'm looking for a brand, it's going to suggest that I go directly to the URL, bypass the search engine, and that's going to fall typically under direct. I've seen that increase across the board, continue to see it more. Do you think, based upon what you're seeing on the GA4 side, there's going to be a little bit more explanation on what direct traffic is, or is it something that we have to just try to figure out from a user engagement standpoint?
Yeah, I think to the theme of your question, nothing is about to become easier. It's always, it seems like right now, at least for the foreseeable future, all our definitions, all of the things going on around privacy, they're just going to start keep getting more and more intense with what's happening. So it's going to get more complicated. And what I would say Google's doing for some of that is you've already seen this on the Google Ads side. You may not know, but Google Ads has already moved to DDA, or data-driven attribution, as the default model for all users. So if you log into Google Ads and you're doing attribution, it's using DDA. And more so on that, it's also doing conversion modeling. And if you don't know what that is, it means that Google has some machine learning and some data science behind the scenes, where if they think there's conversion loss happening on a particular device or browser, it's observing other browsers or historical data and then trying to restore what you lost to give you a more accurate representation of what's happening. So Google is kind of easy button so that you can try and bring some of that back. Is they're bringing that modeling, they're using DDA, and they're making that as a default experience. And in fact, in GA4, they moved to DDA as the default model. GA has always used last non-touch attribution. I could repeat the definition in my mind because I've said it thousands of times. But in GA4, it's actually moved to DDA, and it has the same conversion modeling features that are happening there. So part of that for that answer is Google's addressing it through those features, And then from an actual observed standpoint, where we're trying to see what's really going on behind the scenes, everything you said is spot on. And you should also set your expectation that things are just going to get more complicated from that, because other browsers, even Chrome, are starting to make changes in some of that direction as well.
Very interesting. Yes, definitely see that happening, especially from a privacy standpoint. So that's very good to clear up. We had a couple questions that came in. One was a statement question. So basically, Mitch McDonald says Search Console emits private and or low volume keywords, but it's tracking code fires before GA is code. Yeah, so like Search Console, to me, Search Console is the truth, right? It's the back end. Search Console and Google, Bing's Webmaster Tools, that's the information I'm getting directly from the engine on what people are seeing and clicking and what's happening there. Search Console has historically only shown a specific percentage of keywords. You know, you launch a new site, you'll see that you've gotten 100 clicks to a page, but then for the queries, you'll see like 60 or 50 or whatever. Okay, this is more of a statement. Google Analytics won't match Search Console because GA relies on cookies, also the browser, user behavior, what they're doing on the device.
Ad blocking. Yeah.
Everything else. Ad blocking. Thank you. Yes. So also with the increase in privacy browsers, right? So we have
Brave.
The Brave browser, the DuckDuckGo browser, which somehow allows in Microsoft ad tracking, but not Google. Also, another question that Elias had was, what do you mean specifically by directionality?
Yeah, so the thing with Google Analytics was it should never be used as the source of record. Like, you wouldn't use it to report to your boss how many purchases your business had, because that should come from your purchase database like Shopify or wherever that source really is. Because of ad blocking, JavaScript, all these reasons, Google Analytics has never captured 100% of anything that's happened. It's always captured, you know, we try that 95%-ish benchmark, and that's what we strive to achieve. So the reason we use Google Analytics and its power is that it gives us directional intelligence. So it tells us when things go up, when things go down, when things change. And that's the part we need to always make sure we keep, is its directionalness. So if we're, for example, seeing a drop in transactions or purchases, we should see that both in your CRM database as well as in Google Analytics. They should have the same trend. So when we talk about directionalness, it's just trends between different systems. So if Search Console is saying some landing page is spiking for impressions or click-throughs, we should start to see visits in Google Analytics also spike, especially when we start looking at them side by side.
Very cool. And Elias follows up with, that's what he's been telling his clients. Google Analytics is for analysis. Financing is for reporting. Now let's just make Shopify's backend SEO-driven sales reporting a little bit better, right? By the way, I'd like to thank our sponsor, InMotion Hosting, for sponsoring today's episode. We typically do the ad reads on the audio, but we got a lot of people on today. So definitely take the chance to check out InMotion Hosting, and I'll also drop a link as well. Interesting question that's came through from I'll just call you Rudy. So Rudy asks, what's the role of Google My Business when it comes to bringing traffic? And I know on my side, sometimes we'll set up UTM parameters around the website clicks on Google My Business and be able to track them through Search Console. Are there any ways to integrate Google My Business into GA4 tracking to show the direct clicks to the site and possibly even purchases? And then also, I know, like, when you sync up Google Ads and then your store codes, you can track the people that have walked in the store after being exposed to your ad. So yeah. Is there any kind of integration that you're aware of with GA4 and Google My Business / Google Business Profiles that's on the horizon, or something that's maybe like a little Easter egg within GA4?
So I haven't heard anything or been told anything I can share publicly on Google My Business. However, I would say that with GA4, Google is bringing new integrations. So I think Merchant Center just launched maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Previously, there was never an integration with Google Merchant Center. So I'm excited about some of these new Google integrations and what they're bringing. I would say I'm going to be very curious what Google does with like store visits and a lot of those metrics, because I believe my understanding is some of those solutions for measurement are still dependent on third-party cookies, and third-party cookies are supposed to go away and be replaced with something. So I don't know what store visits and some of the measurement type features that do those bridges are going to look like from a Google perspective as we move forward. So I don't have a really great answer to that, but I think we just have to wait for Google.
Amazing. Amazing. So, wow, it's already been 35 minutes. Let's keep this party going. You had mentioned something about dual tagging. Do you recommend dual tagging for the next year to be able to compare and contrast the data between the two?
So this might surprise you. If you ask me what percentage of my time do I spend in GA4 versus Universal, right now I'm probably still spending 90% of my time in Universal. And that's to the earlier comment where I find I can do my analysis at a significantly easier and more powerful kind of breadth than I can do in GA4 right now. So with dual tagging, that is absolutely my recommendation. And that's what my customers are largely doing, is they're running both side by side. And the vast majority, including myself, are still using Universal as their primary tool while we wait on Google to continue to release missing features like channel groupings. We don't have custom channel groupings yet. We don't have conversion rates. That might sound shocking. You might not have known, but there isn't conversion rates in the product.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right? That might be important. So a lot of those missing features and components don't allow you to use it as your primary solution. However, what's basically done right now is the data model for GA4 is complete. So we're probably not going to change the way we implement GA4, meaning if you implement it today, when Google releases new features, you'll have access to that on the data you already collected. So you definitely want a dual tag so you have that data to use for later.
Great. So I'm going to drop your LinkedIn on here. Where else can people find you online, Charles? Where are you the most responsive?
I'm very engaged on Twitter. So I make some really great Twitter threads if you want to learn about GA4. And then maybe some of you out there have heard about Measure Slack. There is a Slack community of folks in the Measure community. So Adobe, Google Analytics, there's even a paid ads channel in there. But I am heavily engaged, I think, with 10,000 other users in Measure Slack, just helping people with GA questions.
Did you say Measure Slack?
Yes. I think if you just go to measure.slack, there is a sign-up page for that. It's a free community.
Awesome. That's really interesting. So let's see. We had a couple of other questions come in. Let me read them real quick. By the way... why isn't DDA applied to any metrics except conversions and purchase revenue? We can't figure out why we don't get DDA results when using the transactions metric, for example.
Yeah, so let's have some fun. I haven't shared my screen yet, so I'll give you all a preview. So let me know. Can you see my screen?
I think I might have to share it on my end. Hold on. Yep, here we go.
Okay, perfect. So there is a brand new setting in GA4, which is pretty exciting if you think about it. So in your attribution settings, for the first time ever, you can change the default attribution model of GA4. Previously in GA, we were all forced to use last non-direct in all of our standard reports. So you can change this, and there's data-driven, or you can pick something else. Now, the tricky part right now is you might think that attribution model changes the attribution in all of the reports, but that's not quite the case. So in GA4, there's basically three concepts of attribution. There's attribution at a user level. So we see that in our user acquisition report. There's attribution at a session level. So we see that in our traffic acquisition report. And then we have attribution at the kind of key conversion level, which we'll see in our conversion reports. In this report, we can see all of our conversions. And remember, I showed you a setting where you can change your attribution model. In your conversions report, if you pick a conversion, like if I go into blog view, now this will have the conversion model that I picked. And in this case, I was using linear, and you can actually see I start to see fractions of conversions. But remember, if I go back and I just look at the conversions report, I only see whole numbers. So you you can't use that flexible conversion unless you drill into the individual conversion, or if you use the custom reports, you have to use the exact metrics and dimensions that I'm using here in the custom report. Otherwise, it'll use one of the other methods that we just looked at. So this is an area where, again, I shared the experience and some of the reporting in GA4, in my opinion, can be a little challenging, and it's a very steep learning curve. So my hope is for questions like yours, this is something Google starts to improve and make it way easier to understand, use, and interact with than kind of the experience we have today.
Very cool. Very cool. I actually just thinking in my head how to set up campaigns, like skyscraper content is one individual piece where I can look at how it's being viewed across the board, as opposed to bringing up everything differently within GA. So what was the name of the Slack again
that you had mentioned? It's Measure Slack. So I think I can put a link here. It's just measure.chat. So I gave you the wrong URL. So if you just type in measure.chat, C-H-A-T, that is the community for Measure Slack.
Very cool. Very cool. Let me just drop it in case you can't. Everyone who loves getting Slack notifications, go ahead and check out Measure Chat right now. Charles is giving all kinds of information, as I'm sure the community is as well. I hear a lot of people on here saying it's the best. Slack is all this Slack is awesome. Monica says it's the best. Elias is in it already. Elias is in it already. So it's great to hear. This is a whole new world to me. I'm just used to putting together and working with people that do reports. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the SEJ Show, which is made possible by this little break and a word from our sponsors. Do you need to improve your website's performance? Then get the speed you deserve with InMotion Hosting. InMotion Hosting provides fast and reliable website hosting for businesses of any size, all backed by 24/7 customer support and the industry's best money-back guarantee. Trust your website to the web hosting experts at InMotionHosting.com. Again, that's InMotionHosting.com. Now back to our show. I did have one question that came up. One of our viewers says that they constantly report in Google Data Studio on organic search users, visits, clicks, etc. Is that something they're going to have to recalibrate with Data Studio? And is there a way to do that so it's not lossless, so to speak?
Yes. So there's two parts of that. First, there is a different Data Studio connector for GA4 than the previous version, Universal, or GA3. So if you have any reports that use Google Analytics data from the old version, you have to rebuild that from GA4 using that connector. The caveat there is if you're pulling data from Search Console, you should pull it from the Search Console integration or the Search Console Data Studio connector directly, not through GA4 as a proxy. So if you're doing that already, you don't have to rebuild any of that because that data is the same, whether you're using GA3 or GA4. Search Console, to your earlier comment, has always been the source of truth. So that part wouldn't need any update. But any part that does use GA data absolutely would need to be updated.
And John asks, what's the state of the UTM IDs? Do you think they're going to live on? Do you think they're changing the GTM?
UTMs aren't going anywhere. So we have UTMs. And on top of that, Google actually added three new UTMs. So if you go to the UTM tagging, for the first time in 15 years, we have three new ones. I think it's like creative format. I forget the other two off the top of my head. But they're not utilized yet. Google said they'll have more info on that later. And then in addition, there is a UTM underscore ID. So if any of you have ever used Adobe Analytics, like campaign tagging for Adobe usually uses IDs instead of what things actually are. And my hope is that in GA4, we'll have much more robust methodology to do things like with an ID and then upload a list of your campaigns against those IDs. And it could be much more flexible than what we were forced to really do in Universal. So hopefully campaign tagging will have lots of options in the coming months.
Amazing. So just as a reminder, Google has set a deadline in order to do year-over-year comparisons for free UA to GA4 transitions. Get your GA4 tag set up by July 1st. Which for us in the US gives us 3 days. If you're currently viewing from Asia or some other, or Australia or some other parts of the globe, that gives you 2 days to get your act together, get GA4 implemented. It doesn't take that long. We'll send out some links on how to do it, but just get it implemented because it sounds like new things are being added all the time, right? So get the data implemented, get the tag implemented, still work on your UA for the rest of the year. And then as Google is adding new components to GA4, it's kind of opening it up and giving you a better idea of how to utilize it. Continue to follow Charles on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and especially at measure.chat for the measurement analytics Slack to make better use of your GA4. Charles, it's been a real pleasure. I always like to end our shows with a little bit of just a personal chit chat. So I hear you're a hockey player.
Yes, I signed up, didn't even know how to ice skate, but I started playing hockey 3 years ago, and now I have a full-on addiction to hockey.
Nice. And where are you from originally?
I grew up in Cleveland, and I've been in Seattle probably for the last 5 years, so slowly made my way west.
So what's your favorite team then? Because Seattle's team is brand new. You can't say the Kraken yet. It's too early.
I was a San Jose Sharks fan. I am now all in on the Kraken, even though we were terrible this year. But I will say the Kraken.
One of the coolest names and logos in the league, by the way. And oh, even in Cleveland, you're a San Jose Sharks fan?
No, I didn't actually get into hockey until I lived in the Bay Area. So I lived in San Jose like 8 years ago, and I went to a few games, and that kind of started my path. My wife was also a figure skater, and she had always wanted to play. Oh. So if I'm being honest, my wife convinced me to play hockey.
100%. And you guys can connect on the ice, right? She can do her thing. You can do your thing. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, she plays hockey with me now. We actually signed up together. We're on a team. We play every Sunday.
What's the name of the team?
So I'm on one team. We're called Dumpster Fire. That's my own team. And then I have another team called the Greenhorns, which we both play for.
Awesome. Awesome. I've never played hockey. I grew up a Capitals fan, though. We've been okay. We won the cup, 4 years ago?
I'm telling you, if any of you out there have any interest, there's adult learn to play programs. They'll teach you how to skate. They'll put you on a team with other people from 30 to 60 who have never played before. And it is the most fun social activity that I can think of. I used to play soccer my whole life, and now it's just hockey. So take a step, try it out, and I think you'll really like it.
I tell you what, we were talking about this morning on our Search Engine Journal team call, which has a lot more people on it every time I'm on there. And one of our new team members, his name is Blas Carrasco. He had told me that he had practiced Muay Thai in Thailand. So I was talking to him about it, And then I went to the local Muay Thai studio yesterday for my first lesson. Luckily, I have some leg compression gear already for recovery last night, so I am able to walk today. My hips are bothering me a little bit, but I have to be back there tonight at 6 o'clock. But what I will say is that, especially after sitting on the computer all day and looking at spreadsheets and everything else, it is really, really, really nice to give one section of the brain a rest and just live in the moment and have fun for a while, right? Because that's what life's all about.
So imagine doing Muay Thai, but then you have two blades and you have to ice skate at the same time. So the brain a break, that is like hockey. You have to do coordinated things while actually having momentum going forward. So it adds a whole other dynamic too.
And if you spend your time worrying about like client project or whatever, you're going to get checked. You're going to lose a tooth. I'm going to get kicked in the face. So you can't do it. So that's the best thing about it. So highly recommended. Everyone pick up some sort of hobby, whether it be hockey, Muay Thai, model airplanes, whatever it may be. Charles, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed today. We've had a lot of viewers on, so this is a hot topic. Just to let everyone know who is currently watching and listening, by the time you're listening, when we release this on audio, it's already going to be past July 1st. So if you're listening to this right now on audio, get your GA4 at least set up on the site now if you're not using 360. If you are, you'll have until October. And then rewind this whole thing, listen to it again. Also in the show notes, we're going to be having a lot of the highlights. And then Charles, we're going to reach out to you for some different resources and things like that to add, because this is incredibly important.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. And it was an honor.
It's been a real pleasure. I'm wishing the best to the Dumpster Fire. And what was the name of the other team that you play on with
Mike, anyway? The Greenhorns, yes.
The Greenhorns. So the Dumpster Fire and Greenhorns, let's go. Everyone, have a great rest of your week. And looking forward to seeing you on SEJ. Thanks so much, Charles. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening.